Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Welcome to Real Dump, episode one, a Lights, Camera, Podcast story. We're already giggling. That's funny.
I like how it's not the real podcast. We gotta make that clear.
This is not our actual podcast. We're going to start kind of being on schedule here. We're going to drop this at the top of every week. So every Sunday night into Monday morning, we're going to do just a news podcast. We'll have some news we'll talk about a little bit in the regular podcast, which I think we're settling on either Thursdays or Fridays, depending on how much we have to record, how many movies we have to watch. But Jeff Lowe, Trill Bones, Barstool Ken Jack, just talking news. No segments, no reviews. We might touch on a few movies we've seen, but just talking about some recent movie news and give you a little commute listen or midday work listen for Monday morning and until we release our big pod this week, which we are going to take a look back on all the movies throughout the summer. We're going to take a look at the good ones, the bad ones, and then maybe preview a little bit of what to expect for the rest of the year.
Can we address the elephant in the room, Jeff?
Go for it.
So I have to apologize to the listeners. Our podcast has dropped out of the top 200 on iTunes.
Fucked up.
Then that's unacceptable to me. I put that on myself. I know Jeff puts that on himself and Ken Jack does as well. Mm-hmm. We promise to do better. So moving forward, we're going to try to get back into the top 200.
Let's start off with, of course, horror movies, because we all have pretty strong opinions about horror movies. We talked about that last week with The Purge. Jamie Lee Curtis is back for another Halloween movie. It's releasing in 2018. There have been probably 30 Halloween movies. That might be an exaggeration, but there have been a lot of them.
A lot.
And most of them are not good.
H2O.
H2O. I don't know what to think about this. It's clearly a soft reboot or a reboot type movie. This 2010 style refresh look with an old actress. They're probably trying to make it something new and less slashery, you know, and less, because the last few have been, for the most part, terror porn, or however you want to say it.
It's going to have an end where she's only in the last 30 seconds of the movie, and the new protagonist brings Michael Myers' knife to a secluded area and just kind of gives it to her, and it just pans around Skellig, Michael, and that's it.
I hope at some point she drowns somebody in like a vat of Activia, and there's your product placement for horror movies on the year.
Did you see that tweet? It was hilarious. It was basically somebody said, "Oh, what am I doing this weekend? Nothing except photoshopping Michael Myers into Jamie Lee Curtis's Activia commercials." And it was just him.
I definitely did see that.
Yeah, lurking in the background. I like it. Again, this is probably one of those things. I'm not sure I'll ever see it, but I'm a huge JLC fan. Love her work. You know, she has some roles I think she really owned. Halloween,
True Lies, man.
True Lies is probably that's an underrated movie, by the way. Oh, yeah. We should probably do a review on that or a live watch on that on a podcast, because I think it's kind of unappreciated. But yeah, I mean, it's fine. It just seems like something they're doing to obviously build hype for it, which is an obvious statement. The main point I took away from the news, and this is the first time I heard about it, is apparently Danny McBride is a writer on this movie.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in the Alien movie this past summer, which we're going to, get to in our main podcast. So this one, so there was a reboot, and I just so we're clear, because there have been 10 of them. There was a reboot in 2007, the Rob Zombie versions, 07 and 09, Halloween and Halloween 2. So it looks like, from all accounts, and hey, tweet and correct us if we're wrong. By the way, we've been getting a lot of tweets about movies and stuff. We love that. Keep engaging. Keep talking to us about movies. That's why we're here. We want to build a movie community. So if we're dead wrong on this shit, if we're wrong, let us know. But it looks like this will be a new reboot and not of the Rob Zombie variety, which was those were gory. Those were very gory movies.
So in this reboot, I'm just trying to imagine where else they could go with the Halloween franchise. Space? Underwater? I mean, maybe that was H2O.
What do you think the main plot points of H2O were?
Michael Myers was just trying to educate people on proper hydration.
There's fluoride in the water. Michael Myers poisoning the supply.
What if it's just Michael Myers living in New York City telling everybody that New York City has the best tap water in the world? It's just his crusade.
I'm drinking tap water over here.
I don't need a Brita.
We got aquifers up here. Did you guys know that? Did you hear about this?
Did you hear?
Have you seen about it?
We're just going to do the same bits.
Some drunk guy, some like drunk teenager's eating pizza, and he walks over with a knife, and you think he's going to stab her, but then he's like, do you know why the pizza's so good in New York? Because the water helps the dough rise better. All right, Halloween, the 2018 version, a reboot, Jamie Lee Curtis. We're going to have our own version of buy or sell on this podcast. It's going to be, we're going to ask if we butter our popcorn or don't butter our popcorn on this movie. So are you going to butter your popcorn or not butter your popcorn with this Jamie Lee Curtis Halloween thing?
Butter me up, bitch.
I'm not buttering it, but I might go to the kiosk that is cleaned once a week on the side of the concession stand and put a little cheddar kernel seasonings on it.
Ooh. I'm not going to butter, but if I hear it's good, I'll come back and butter like on my refill.
So we've established now that I think we've worked it out ourselves that buttering the popcorn means you're going to buy and not buttering means you're going to sell. Okay. I think we should just leave it just very vague because some people prefer that synthetic movie theater butter and some people just like to go and dry.
That's fair. Mother.
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 Mother! Exclamation point.
Tell your children not to see this film.
So Mother, boy, oh boy, do moviegoers not like this one. I rated it a 63 out of 100. I rated it a 68 last night, slept on it, bumped it down to a 63. That happened with me for Transformers the last night. I think I had it in like the 20s, and then slowly every day I kept dropping it and eventually landed on a 3. The more I think about it, the more I hate this movie. I respect the art. It's a very artsy movie. Darren Aronofsky did a great job if you just like the art aspect of it, but it's a wacky movie. And critics like it to an extent, and I can see some loving it. We got a couple tweets, actually, of people asking if we had seen Mother, and a few said they liked it. No spoilers here, because it just came out. But it's a f***ed up movie. And people do not like it.
Jeff, did you see it in the theater, or did you get a screener for this one?
This one I saw a screener.
Oh, okay. Because I would be interested to see like what the reaction would have been for people leaving the movie theater. Because it looks like online, it's pretty much negative, but I know the critics have been more favorable.
I imagine the reaction to some certain scenes, there'll probably be groans in the audience. And again, no spoilers here. We've done two pretty heavy spoiler podcasts with movies that are newer. I'll just lay it out that we're not going to spoil the movie for you. And if we do, it will give you a big heads up. But no, there's going to be some parts of it that people hate. But it got an F on CinemaScore. Very few movies get an F, and I don't think it deserves an F. It's not F quality. I mean, we've already reviewed two F movies. I guess, are you going to butter your popcorn for this movie and go check out Mother?
I'm doing Old Bay for this one. No butter for me.
I think I will check it out when it comes to on demand. I don't think I'll expend the effort to go to the movie theater to see it. Pretty much the only reason I want to see this movie is because my boy Javier Bardem's in it, who I love. And Mother has an exclamation point after the title, which is pretty cool. It reminds me of Panic at the Disco when they had that. And that just gets me excited for it. But I haven't really liked the reception it's been getting so far. I would have expected it to be something different. I will say, if you go back a few weeks, I tweeted out the Mother Germany account, which was verified. And at that point, it was the lowest follower count, verified count I had ever seen with 11 followers. That was a bad omen for that movie, I'd had to say. And I didn't even know what it was at that point, maybe 3 to 4 weeks ago. So maybe this is one of those movies that they made and they put it in this nice little nestling period in between the summer blockbusters and the prestige releases and wrote it off. I'm not sure, but I I'm a little disappointed. I expected something more from when I found out about it 2.5 weeks ago.
There's a lot of good actors in it, and I don't dislike Darren Aronofsky. I mean, I like Black Swan.
Well, it's great. Great movie.
But I just, this one is too much, and I get that vibe that people say it's too pretentious and too artsy. And it's not me hating on him at all. Again, I gave it a 63. I like the art of it. I get what they're trying to do. But it just, again, without giving anything away, there's some things in there that you're going to make you go, holy shit. And I think it'll disturb some people. So if you've seen Mother, let us know what you think and engage debate with us. We'll chat about it. Speaking of Javier Bardem, Javier, the Oscar winner, I believe, will be playing Pablo Escobar in a movie. Thoughts, guys?
Hey, baby bro, have you seen the news? Javier Bardem's playing your character. You already play Pablo Escobar, baby bro.
Drama, shut up. Vinny has more important things to worry about than you and this douchebag Ari coming after us every day. Are we ready? The movie's coming out. There's nothing we can do about it.
Lloyd! Get me Javier Bardem on the phone. I want a 12 o'clock meeting with him, and I want it in the Ferrari, and I want 50 Cent to also be there. Lloyd! Hey, Ari. Did you get my clip I sent in last week about the new Transformers 6 movie? I'd really like to be a Viking robot. Victory!
All right, listen to me, Vinny. I got an idea. We're going to have Snapchat filters, except they put J's on your feet using 3D feet mapping technology. All I need is a small investment of $3 million to give towards my friend Jerry who runs it underneath the alley.
Oh, I don't know, Turtle.
Yeah, Turtle. Stay away from baby bro. You're a bad influence on him.
All right, good thoughts, guys. Next up, Star Wars Episode 9. J.J. Abrams is back. It was announced that he will return as the director in the Star Wars franchise. Only the second time they've had a repeat director, George Lucas obviously being the other one. He directed 4 movies. So JJ, after we discussed, actually this dropped immediately when we dropped our podcast. This news came out and our podcast was full of us pinning for Ryan Johnson. So we sounded pretty stupid compared to this news, but we were also happy with JJ Abrams. I just think we didn't think this would happen. So what do we think about Abrams returning to Star Wars for Episode 9 to complete this new trilogy?
I'm personally so happy. Like, I know you, Jeff, have also watched like the behind the scenes for The Force Awakens, and his process behind making the movies is so great to me. Like his mix of like using prosthetics and using CGI, where it's just not overly abundant on either, and it like makes good use of old technology and new technology, and he's actually somewhat focused on screenwriting and plot details. I'm very psyched up. I can't emphasize it enough.
I agree with that, Ken Jack. I loved The Force Awakens. I know there are complaints about it. My idiot brain really enjoyed it. I had no complaints. I thought it was a really fun movie. I think The Last Jedi, and this is not an exaggeration, might be the best movie ever made. That's my expectation for it right now, which is a healthy attitude to have. So I don't envy the job JJ has, because following the best movie ever made might be tough. But seriously, I think it's probably a good sign for The Last Jedi if JJ's coming in to knock the pins down with the last one. I don't know if it would signal if Rian Johnson came in for the last one that he would need to unweave something he did in The Last Jedi. So people at the company that is making the movie, they've watched The Last Jedi multiple times. The movie's pretty much already made, except for tweaks here and there. They know if it's good. They made this decision based off of that, and I think it's encouraging for both films.
Yeah, I think JJ knows the story, and that's important. Now, granted, all three weren't written ahead of time, but JJ knows he started this path with Lawrence Kasdan, and I think, Kendrick, you said it best. Is if you watch the documentary for The Force Awakens, you see how intricate he was with the plot and with just the details of the movie that mattered. And that's a big complaint about when you watch the George Lucas documentaries for the prequels. You see a lot of nitpicking over how big Dexter Jetster's neck should be, what he should look like, you know, how many Gungans are in the Phantom Menace battle. And again, I love George Lucas. He created the greatest thing of all time. But that's where the difference was. At least
clearly this is an 8-ounce cup of Jawa juice on the table and the script production spec called for 10 ounces. Okay.
When I think about it with Lucas's actual voice, it makes it even better too. His like sort of soft tone, like, well, I don't know, guys. I don't understand. I don't think that Dexter Jester should have 5 chins. He should have 6 chins. So, you know, get the suffix guys down here now.
And somebody's like trying to tell him something's a bad idea. Like, hey, George, his original chin design kind of looks like a ball sack.
We're just going to roll with it, guys. You know, roll film.
So I'm a fan. I think we all agree. It's good news. At least if you're a star. I mean, look, some people didn't like The Force Awakens. That's fine. I loved it. You know, if he rehashes Return of the Jedi and if Rian Johnson rehashes Empire Strikes Back, then yeah, maybe it'll be a little annoying. I don't think that's going to happen. They did what they had to do. It was a great reboot. They did it the perfect way. Should there have been a massive thing, a massive circular ship that blows up a planet? I think we could have done without it. It did ruin the freaking movie for me. You know, so I love it. I'm happy. I think Abrams is going to do a great job. I'm sure they'll bring in Rian Johnson to oversee some of it too. It's going to be good.
I think the only thing that is going to feel rehashed about The Last Jedi, and again, this is only me saying this in my hopes, is that there's going to be a lightsaber battle at the end while there's another battle taking place somewhere else, which I'm sure people will complain about, but most action movies ever made, there's usually some A action and some B action. Maybe not most of them, but most of the Star Wars movies. What I've seen so far, just with things like Snoke and his design and the design of his ship and his chamber room being all red, red is really, I don't feel like it's ever been used as a color that prominently in the Star Wars universe. I feel like it's been used sparingly to highlight things like lightsabers, other things that could be red. Like
it's a very prominent color in this movie too. The first poster, then they had the second release of posters. All the characters were red. I mean, look at the box art for the toys. Mm-hmm. And some leaked stuff online. Red is a very prominent thing in this movie, and that's I think the coolest part for me. You just see there's going to be some real deep seated evil in this movie, which is just man. Again, you said it, Trill. It's not out yet, but I can already tell it's the greatest movie ever made.
We're all fucking taking our clothes off right now. Yeah.
You guys can't see this, but it's happening right now.
So we're all on board with J.J. Abrams. The Hollywood Reporter posed a question this week asking, do we really need another trailer for The Last Jedi?
Yes.
Yes.
Glad that's settled. John Wick, Chapter 3, got a release date, 2019. Are we all John Wick fans?
Yes!
You're not a John Wick fan. I got a problem with you at this point because those movies are awesome.
They are
fucking good. Like, unreal how well they're done. And if you guys have seen behind the scenes, but the clips of Keanu Reeves doing his training for the movie, for the fight choreography,
badass.
It's so fucking cool. And
hell yeah.
Yeah. And I thought I liked John Wick 1 more than I liked John Wick 2, but I still thought both were incredible. So I'm super fucking pumped up.
John Wick is one of those movies. Only the first John Wick, because the second John Wick obviously isn't on TV. But if it's on TV, I'm going to watch it. It doesn't matter if it's 75 minutes into the movie, 3 minutes into the movie. Are they killing his dog? Is he shooting out the club? I don't care. I'm going to watch it. I actually wish they would simultaneously shoot 5 John Wick movies and just release them all like back to back to back to back in consecutive years. I love it. Keanu Reeves is like 50 years old. And he looks phenomenal.
He does.
My God.
Yeah, and I also love Ian McShane in John Wick 2. I'm the huge Ian McShane guy, and he had a pretty cool role as like, it's not really a spoiler since it's been out for a while, but he was like the master of assassins. He was super badass.
Is the dialogue corny? Sure. But yes. You don't even care because that's how awesome the action is. The way it's filmed, there are so many jump cuts in action scenes these days with movies, and it's so jumpy all over the place and you can't really follow an action scene. John Wick, the first two, you can follow everything that's happening in those over the top intense action scenes. And that's why you get so into them. You get an adrenaline rush watching this movie. And it was such a shocker when the first one was so good. Cause you watch the trailer and it's like Keanu Reeves getting pissed off. They killed his dog. So you didn't expect the movie to be any good. And it wasn't just good. It was great.
Yeah, the thing I loved about John Wick movies is that they very much embrace what they are. Like, they don't try and be something they're not, which a lot of action movies will try to do. They basically treated it like one long cut, like, action fight, like, choreography scene, and which is awesome. And I like what you're saying about the camera angles and, like, the shot, the way they do the shots, where it's mostly, instead of being, like, the cut back and forth between different fight scenes, it's just usually one long, like, really long shot, which is, I always think is amazing.
Like tracking shots, or they're stitched in a way it looks like they're tracking shots. And yeah. I love, and I don't know if it's accurate, I'm not a tactical gun guy, but the way Keanu like robotically dismantles people with his firearms in these movies is so visually pleasing to the eyes, and the effects they use for the blood splatters and the sounds, it was like they designed them in a lab. Like, they had countless hours of focus groups where they talked about the optimal Mozambique drill for Keanu Reeves to use in order to get rid of bad guys. Great movies. Only thing I got to say is, in the third one, I really, really want this to happen. I don't know if it would throw off the movie, but I want them to land a bigger name for like the big bad in this one. So like, if there's a mastermind, and I know he's already got Common's character coming after him now, but if you introduce someone else, like, I'd really love someone like Tom Cruise, who is phenomenal as Vincent in Collateral.
Collateral, yes.
To just play a deranged bad guy, because I don't think he's been given that opportunity many times in his career. And him squaring off against Keanu, like, two of biggest action actors in the mid to late 90s, both of like Speed and The Matrix and Mission Impossible, would just be fucking fun. Would love to see that.
So I think we're all going to butter our popcorn on John Wick here.
I'm going to do like four different squirts of the butter right on top of the popcorn.
Ooh. Like double pumping it.
I'm going to need a bunch of napkins. Let's just put it that way.
I'm lubed up.
So from John Wick to something that's, well, I'm just going to read the headline of what we have on our rundown here. The Michael Jackson chimpanzee movie Bubbles has been picked up by Netflix. Now, this was, Trill, you want to talk about this one, I think. I'm just going to hand it off to you.
So this movie, the screenplay was actually on the blacklist, which I know a little bit about, but Jeff, you probably know more about it. Essentially, it's a list of screenplays that haven't been picked up. So they're kind of like the best screenplays of the year that didn't get made into a movie. And it was on that a few years ago. The movie is based on Bubbles the chimpanzee, Michael Jackson's monkey, and it shows Michael Jackson's life through Bubbles' eyes, which is a really interesting take on approaching somewhat of a fictionalized Michael Jackson biopic. Anyway, the thing that's interesting is the same folks who are doing Anomalisa are doing this one, I believe, and it's either stop motion or what is it, rotoscoped animation. I can't remember which one it is.
Yeah, stop motion, yeah.
I feel like this is going to be a really interesting movie. I think it's got a good director, the Thor, Ragnarok. Is that how you pronounce it?
And it's the same guy who did Fantastic Mr. Fox stop motion.
Yes.
Which Fantastic Mr. Fox is a – that's a fantastic – no pun intended. I love Fantastic Mr. Fox.
I read through the screenplay of The Bubbles just because the idea intrigued me so much. I'm really excited about this film. I think that it is a fresh concept. So I'm really excited about it. I think it's a really fresh concept, and I'm looking forward to it. It's got a good director. Netflix is going to be doing it, which they've been on a roll lately. So we'll see. 2019, is it? So still a ways to go, but this is going to be a LCP watch list. I'm straight up just buttering the popcorn.
A lot of the movies that are on that blacklist, for obvious reasons, because they have great screenplays, end up being fantastic movies. And one that comes to mind last year was my favorite movie, Hell or High Water. I thought Hell or High Water was the best movie of 2016. Mm-hmm. That was a blacklist winner, I think, from 2012 or 13. I think it was 2012. So, hey, I mean, this people have wanted this movie to get made, and you got a great director, a great animator. Again, Fantastic Mr. Fox. Love that movie.
Low-key best Wes Anderson flick, I'd have to say. Like, one of his better ones, maybe not the best one.
Great, great voice cast. George Clooney leads it. This is pretty exciting. It's going to be a wacky movie, a weird one for sure, but nothing wrong with that. I like a little originality and a different spin on true stories.
I think that because it is stop motion, the right decisions will be made, Ken Jack.
I have zero faith. No butter.
The best.
No butter from you?
Wow.
No butter from me.
This is the first. This might be the first beef we have on LCP.
We've been waiting.
Real dump. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to butter as well. So let's get into some comic book movie news. Matthew Vaughn has confirmed he's in talks to be director for Man of Steel. Just director talks. Matthew Vaughn has made some great movies over the last few years. He's directed them, at least. Kick-Ass, X-Men First Class, Kingsman Secret Service, and I guess this is an ad for his next movie, Kingsman The Golden Circle, which comes out this week. I love Kick-Ass, one of my favorite movies from the last 10, 15 years. It is an awesome movie. He has a way with movies where he kind of baits you in at the end and you think everything's going to go to shit and then the hero comes out and wins. Or in the case of Kingsman, has some really weird kinky sex with somebody in the cave.
As a reward.
Yeah.
A good message at the end. He's like, oh, it was all worth it.
But the thing with his movies, you always have a little bit, and he's done a good comic book movie. I like X-Men First Class.
Yeah, I like that too.
He has a little bit of humor and a little bit of life and livelihood with his main characters. And I think that's what Superman is missing more than anything in these Justice League movies. Superman is such a bummer of a guy. And that's not what Superman should be. Like, I get he has a lot of the world on his shoulders. But I think Matthew Vaughn would elevate Superman as a character and make him a little more enjoyable, at least. And maybe he will be in the new Justice League movie, for all we know. I don't know. But as of right now, in the DCEU, Superman is just a Debbie Downer. He is no fun. I would love if Matthew Vaughn directed this movie. I think it would give Man of Steel a little life, shoot a little life into it.
Martha!
Why did you say that name?
Why did you say that name?
I'm right there with you, Jeff. You know, you hit the nail on the head with the way Superman has. So I don't exactly hate the Superman movies themselves. I hated Superman versus Batman, but the two before that were pretty good. But the way he's been portrayed in the most recent DC movies has really been, it's almost like too cerebral into it. Like, yeah, I know we got the weight of the world on your shoulders and I know we want to add this like weird religious imagery into it and have it's people
so,
like lift them up.
So godlike.
Yeah. And I just, let's just have a little fun with it, man. Like it's okay.
They're comic books.
Yeah. It's okay to like have a Superman who maybe doesn't really realize the weight of the responsibilities given to him and can, quip out a few one-liners here or there that makes the audience chuckle.
People get so caught up with the Christopher Nolan Batman movies because they were so realistic and so gritty. However, there was some humor in those. It wasn't just drab and dreary. But the thing with those was it was gritty and down to earth because there were no superpowers in that movie.
Right.
This movie has a lot of superpowers. This is more of a comic book movie.
Yeah, I loved Man of Steel, actually. So I'm kind of pumped up for this as well. I do like Matthew Vaughn. I was a huge fan of Kingsman and also X-Men First Class. I thought that was like the best out of the new version of the X-Men films, like the McAvoy versions. I thought that was still the best so far. So I'm pumped up for it right now. Butter it up.
Yeah, butter me up too.
I'm going to butter that up too. I'm going to heat up the butter with my X-ray vision and then apply it to the popcorn just to tie it into Superman. All I ask from a new Superman movie is you just have like a newsy type kid in there like, hey, Supes, read all about it. 5 cents for today's paper. Superman saved a freight liner. Come read about it in the paper. And he's like, well, I know, kid. I saved him. Why would I buy the paper? Oh, geez, Superman.
Make it even darker. And it's like Clark Kent confronting the reality that print is dead and he loses his job and like has to go.
He goes to work for BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
It's like 15 reasons Clark Kent is not Superman.
The Daily Planet in the middle of it just pivots to video and fires Clark Kent.
Yes.
So I think we just wrote the movie. So now we just need Matthew Vaughn to direct it.
Oh, geez, Superman. Oh, geez, Superman. I think that's better.
Oh, geez, Soup. Print is dead.
I like it as Soup. I'm a big fan of the Soup nickname already.
Oh, geez, Soup. Haven't you read? You don't work there anymore.
What?
How do you know I'm Superman? Oh, man, everybody knows, Soup.
Somebody doxes Superman and releases his identity.
Superman quits Twitter with, like, a gigantic, like, 25-tweet storm. And then that, like, everyone, all the replies to him is like, see ya, bitch.
Guys, it's taken three podcasts. Well, two podcasts and a mini podcast for us to bring up Nick Cage fully. So we're going to bring up the fact that he's going to be in a movie that's being compared to Snakes on a Plane, but with just a lot of different animals. It's a movie where he's a big game hunter, I believe. I'm going to be loose on the details here because all that matters is big game animals are trying to kill everybody on the ship after they're let loose or something on a boat that's going back over to America. Again, loose on the details, doesn't matter. A lot of animals attacking Nick Cage. He's trying to fend them off and defend his crew. I'm excited because any Nick Cage movie, good or bad, I'm all in on, because they're either going to be hilarious or maybe like National Treasure, where it's a good rewatch all the time. I like this. Give me some more Nick Cage. Nick Cage's been kind of blackballed lately, too.
It's actually being produced by Happy Madison. It's called Noah's Fart.
Just lions that just poop all the time.
Can I just say, when I was editing our last podcast, we went in so hard on Happy Madison movies and how many fart and poop jokes, and we make so many fart.
Yeah, we're not being paid millions of dollars to do this, Jeff.
Hey, I didn't say it's a bad thing. I butter my popcorn to the fart and poop jokes. I mean, this thing is literally called Real Dump, so...
The problem is we're cutting all of our highbrow humor. Just hits the cutting room floor. It doesn't sell.
So the idea of this movie, do we like it? I think Nick Cage should just go in all in on ridiculous stuff the rest of his career.
I'm in on this movie and butter that popcorn. Also, separate side container of butter heated up and ready to go if there is a scene where he happens to get into a fist fight with a bear.
Ooh.
Because didn't he fight a bear already, or didn't he? No, he punched a woman in Wicker Man. He was in a bear costume. Just bring that back. Just a guy in a bear. I just want to see Nick Cage beat a bear in hand-to-hand combat. That's all I want. There's a shredded up Declaration of Independence piece in each one of the animals that he has to gut and extract from them.
Is there a line? We're going to eventually do a podcast where we do our favorite, best, worst movie lines. Is there a line that's had more replay value than I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence? You hear that multiple times. I hear it multiple times a year. I mean, it's referenced a lot. And that movie's been out for a while. That movie has a lot of play. It's aged very well, that line.
It's ridiculous. It's inherently ridiculous in itself. I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence, but it's made even funnier by its association with Nick Cage, who I think has a persona of being a little bit out there. So it's kind of like the perfect confluence of the right person saying it and just a ridiculous remark. You're right. Yeah. I am going to steal the Declaration of Independence, though. I promise you that. Actually, I'm not. Please don't drone my house.
I want another National Treasure movie. I'm off the Noah's Fart movie. I want another National Treasure movie. Lastly, got to get serious here for a second. Rest in peace to Harry Dean Stanton. Passed away. Great actor in many great movies. You know someone's in a lot of good movies when you go to their Wikipedia page and you have to go to a separate page to see their filmography. That's when you know it's a serious actor. That you've been in some good stuff.
Someone tweeted out an interview with Harry Dean Stanton. It was a quote from him with Jen Kirkman. So she asked him, "My favorite John Hughes movie is Pretty in Pink. You played Molly Ringwald's dad. Do you have an opinion of who she should have ended up with?" She did end up with Blaine, the rich guy. A lot of people think that she should have ended up with her best friend, Ducky. Are you happy with how they ended the movie with her ending up with Blaine as her dad? Harry Dean Stanton, "I don't give a fuck." And we'll retweet this on Monday. It's like the funniest quote I've ever seen.
It's even like, what a face. I mean, just a distinctive face, you know, past the 91, like Jeff said, separate Wikipedia entry for it, you know, a lot of different movies. I remember him fondly from Big Love, the HBO series, which he was on, a show that I don't know if many enjoyed it as much as I did, but I was a fan of that one. Then, of course, also his work in pretty much every other movie made in Hollywood. But
great, right.
Great character actor.
So that's it. We went through about as much news as we could. We've been saying it all podcast. Tweet us stuff. Tweet us movie reviews. You know what you think. Tweet us some news you want us to talk about. It'll help us out a little bit. And we wanted to stay engaged and make this, again, like a movie community here. So
send feet pics to Ken Jack. Yes. He wants to see those feeties, sweeties. Actually,
DMs are open.
Don't do that at all.
Don't do it. Please. I'm begging you.
For Trill Ballins, Barstool Ken Jack, this is Jeff Flo. This has been Real Dump, Episode 1, a Lights, Camera, Podcast story. Expect the full Lights, Camera, Podcast, Episode 3 to drop Thursday night into Friday. Have a great week, everybody.